Welcome to Bodcast, the Business of Dentistry podcast, brought to you by Practice Plan. Bodcast delivers the best business advice, real-life stories, and practical hints and tips to make your practice a more profitable and sustainable business. And now, here's your host.
Hello, my name's Nigel Jones and I'm Sales and Marketing Director at Practice Plan, and I'd like to welcome you to today's podcast. The topic for today is the subject of commercial finance and really understanding things about commercial finance that perhaps your business bank may not want you to know. And I'm very lucky to be joined today by John Clark, who's Head of Business Development at Wesleyan Bank. Welcome, John. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you, Nigel.
I wonder if, just to start with, you could tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Yes, absolutely. So within commercial finance, I've now got around 20 years behind me. So I've worked for a number of high street banks, but also commercial finance providers during that time. I've sold funding for hard assets such as plant machinery, trucks, trailers, vehicles, right through to funding a dental acquisition and commercial mortgage.
Right, so I think the thing that I've noticed when I've been working with practices is that it's a bit of a minefield out there when you're trying to decide which financial products to choose and who to work with when it comes to your financing needs. From your point of view, why do you think it might be a good idea to separate out commercial finance requirements from the day-to-day business needs that you might have with your high street bank?
I think to start with the credit crunch back in 2000-2008, within the professions sector generally, most high street banks tightened up on their lending and their general appetite to the profession sector. What that then did was that gave way for commercial finance providers or specialists to enter into the market, and they were in a position to assist at a time of need. And I think in assisting at a time of need certainly builds trust and relationship. Obviously within the high street bank environment, they're generally providing a everyday working capital overdraft facility. They do provide some uncertain commercial finance products, but overall dealing with a commercial finance specialist who've got deep domain knowledge of the dental sector and are able to provide funding from 6 months to 25 years, so short-term cash flow funding right through to commercial mortgage, certainly adds value within the sector and gives a positive alternative.
And is that then one of the key advantages of going outside of your high street bank, that you can go work with a lender that's able to offer you more choice, different types of funding in a way that maybe is not quite so, there's not so much choice with a high street bank?
Yes, absolutely. I'd certainly agree with that. With a high street bank, it's them individually, their own and their own funding capability and exposure. And with any one customer, there's only so much appetite that you've got to lend them or are able to lend to them. With a commercial finance specialist, we've got much broader product range. So I talk about 6 months to 25 years, I talk about short term and talk about commercial mortgage. Within that, you've obviously got the short term cash flow funding, you've got asset finance, so technology as well as specialist equipment, you've got refurbishment, building work, but that goes right through to funding of a practice acquisition and the freehold of that practice as well. And within the commercial lending space, that's the broad range of what they can lend for. their appetite and their exposure is very different. It's a lot broader. And if you're dealing with an independent, then they've got the ability to lend their own money, but also they have generally have got the ability to lend other financiers' money as well. So what I mean by that is they can have wholesale funding arrangements with alternative bank institutions or finance institutions. And what that enables that commercial lender to do is to spread your risk or to spread the customer's risk. So primary, we would be looking to fund it on their own book. But if exposure or appetite was getting to a point where it's becoming full, then we're able to place it elsewhere, still managing the relationship, still managing the funding requirement for the customer, but you're placing it elsewhere.
So from a dental practice point of view, then that there's a reassurance in them knowing that actually you would be able to find funding from some source or another.
Yeah, absolutely, Nigel. And it means that the commercial lender that they're dealing with, who's already got all of the financial information, has already got an understanding of that practice, the individuals that are involved in it, they can put forward a credit application to an alternative funder quite simply and quite easily and without having to ask the customer for further financial information. And it all comes down to managing the relationship and building a trust with that customer to spread their risk. And you're managing their portfolio of funding. And I think one thing that's key and is quite unique about a commercial lender, they generally are about the medium to long term. They're not about the short term. It's not about what can we do for you today, and sorry, we can't fund for you tomorrow. It's about what can we do for you today, but also what can we do for you over the next 12 months, 18 months, 5 years and longer.
So presumably that means that you've got to end up with quite a good understanding about the business plan of the dental practice, where it's wanting to take itself if you're looking medium to long term.
Absolutely. And we want to understand that, and we want to be involved in that, and we want to be involved with the journey that they're going through, because a commercial lender will want to assist them at the right time, be engaged with them at the right time, and ultimately provide them with the funding that they require to assist or grow their business.
So is that kind of specialist knowledge about the life cycle, if you like, of a dental practice, one of the key differentiators compared to your average high street bank?
Yes, I certainly think that it is. And there's certain providers out there within the commercial lending space that get engaged with a dentist, for instance, when they're a student. So there's solutions out there providing a student with a general student loan, which could be for anything from a holiday to buying a car to doing property improvements. But once they're on board with that commercial lender, then that opens up the doors and the avenues with the commercial lender for them to be able to talk to them about other products during their career. So a dentist's career, they would ordinarily step into an associate position, so they would be engaged at a senior level within the practice and no doubt advising from time to time whenever there's certain funding requirements, which could be technology or specialist equipment based. But ultimately their goal would be to own their own practice. That might be buying the practice that they're an associate within when it becomes for sale, or looking at a practice externally. But they would then be in a position to go and talk to that commercial lender about acquisition and property funding. And hence the reason why the majority look at the medium to long term rather than just the short term.
Yeah, so it sounds as if that sort of specialist understanding of dentistry and running a dental practice and a dental career means that a commercial lender is more able to support at each stage with products that are relevant at that particular time in a career of a dentist.
You're absolutely right there, Nigel. They have specialist products that can help at certain points in the dentist career. And the products are all flexible, in part unique, and some are even tax efficient.
So I was going to ask about you made that point about unique. So how much bespoking can go on? Is that something that commercial lenders are maybe find it easier to do than high street banks?
Yes, certainly. I think that with most high street banks, they've got a credit policy and they've got very strict, stringent terms that are in place. Most underwriters within a bank, you will find that they sit in a darkened room with darkened glass with paper credit notes that come across their desk, which is simply a tick box exercise as a yes or a no. The difference in the commercial lending world is that a lot of underwriters will engage within the sales force, and they will look to assist them in going out and seeing the customers to see how they can add value in providing a better solution for the customer. So the solution or the requirement the customer may put forward may not be quite the right one. However, a commercial lender will look at an alternative way of doing it. If a deal is good enough to be done, then generally they will get to it.
Okay, so I started to build a picture then. If I'm a dental practice owner, if I'm trying to decide where I'm going to secure some funding from, I could go to my high street bank. But if I go to a commercial lender, it feels like the chances are, if they're dental specialists, they've got a knowledge about dentistry, they understand the challenges, and that means that both the products and the advice can be more tailored to suit the specific needs of the individual. And you end up with, the opportunity to be a bit more creative than the high street banks are on finding solutions, and that sort of all-round knowledge allows you to maybe pick out solutions as a commercial lender that maybe other people wouldn't spot. Is that essentially what you're saying?
Yes, pretty much. As a commercial lender or within the commercial lending market, there is just generally a lot more flexibility. I mean, if you think back to the point about funding terms, so 6 months to 25 years, that's very wide. And there's a lot of different funding requirements that can fit within that. Loan to value on an acquisition can be more flexible under a commercial lender than what it can be for a bank. Security requirements can be very different as well, because we're not as strict.
Can I understand that? So when you say you're not as strict on security requirements, what do you mean?
So charges over current accounts, certain bank accounts. You know, we don't require an everyday bank account. We will take or do require with certain facility security by way of second charges, for instance, on residential property, but that's normally at the higher end, being an acquisition or involved in a freehold transaction. Asset expenditure, generally we don't take security. The only security that we may take would be within the asset itself, because we're funding that asset, we're taking title to that asset. What you will tend to find with a bank is that, depending upon how much funding you do have with them, they may well take security across all of the funding that you have with them. So that could include short-term funding, that could include asset funding, which is only over a medium term. That's where we become more flexible.
Okay, so the flexibility is a key point, the specialist knowledge is a key point. Got to ask the question, what about rates? Where does that fit into this picture when you're trying to decide who to go to?
Commercial lenders on not as competitive as a bank. we are generally competitive in the space, but you will tend to find that High Street Bank will always be that little bit cheaper than us. They've got the ability to do that. We haven't. We've got different costs that are associated with our funding. We don't ask for a everyday working capital facility, and therefore we're not earning interest that way. We don't provide them. We're not asking for a current account so that we're holding a dentist's own personal money and earning interest that way. Again, we don't provide it. So we'll never be the most competitive. We will always be that little bit more expensive than a High Street Bank. But within the commercial lending space, what are the uniquenesses are the specialism, the deep domain knowledge, the flexibility within the overall product suite, and the way that we will put a funding requirement together.
I mean, it sounds like you're describing value for money, and it being more than just price, which I think most private dentists will be able to relate to, because obviously patients can get dentistry cheaper than from most of their private dentists, and yet they still perceive there's a value to it because it's much more than just price. You mentioned earlier on that there were a few examples of what funding might be required for. I just wouldn't mind delving into one of those in a little bit more depth. When it comes to the subject of dental equipment and technology, stay very current, and there's lots of things that they could potentially invest in. Lots of clinical innovations, technology-driven clinical solutions, that kind of thing, which practices are wanting to embrace, partly because they want to stay ahead of the game and they want to meet their patients' needs. They want to avoid the risk of patients potentially leaving them and going to a practice that does offer those sorts of advanced forms of care. But also, I think with a view to exit and maximising the value of the practice when they come to sell, they want to stay abreast of the times and keep moving forward and keep enhancing the value of their practice. So when it comes to something specific like funding for technology, are there any particular considerations that a practice owner should be thinking about as they approach that decision?
I think, Nigel, that what they need to be doing is that spreading the cost of the life of that asset. And by doing that, then asset finance should be a consideration. Cash is always king, and clearly cash is always a great position to be in, and to be purchasing an asset on day one is great. But is that cash not better sat in your business and invested within your business? With that cash, is there alternative growth plans that you can consider? Whether that is further investing in your practice, is the building work that could be done? Is there any refurbishment work that might need doing? All to the point that you say, Nigel, around increasing the value of your practice for potentially a future sale. But also by keeping the cash in your business, if you're looking at growing and you're looking at acquiring another practice, then most commercial lenders and also the High Street Banks, when they're looking at practice acquisition, they require a cash stake as a deposit. So in my view, cash is always best kept within the business when it can be. So funding assets over a period of anything from 1 to 5 years, which is generally the norm, I see as a benefit. Yes, there's obviously interest that's applicable. However, there is certain tax advantages that are available to that. But it just spreads that purchase. And within the dental space, depending upon what piece of equipment or asset that you are buying, you could be talking of expenditure from £5,000 right up to anything that could be £100,000 for some of these real technical specialist pieces of equipment that are out there in the market today. And I suspect certently in the private sector, then these higher end pieces of equipment are more commonly known and required, And I suspect that these private patients that are paying for these treatments, they're the types of equipment that they're looking out for. So is £100,000 readily available from cash resources, or is financing through an alternative source like a commercial lender the most appropriate way to purchase that asset?
So you mentioned as part of that answer about tax benefits. Can you tell me a bit about the annual investment allowance?
Yes. So with the annual investment allowance, then what that enables a business to do is in any financial year, they can spend up to £200,000 and they can get full write-down allowance on that asset within that financial year. So that could be a combination of assets. That's not just one single purchase. So that could be a number of purchases up to that value. But it has to be a hard asset. So a chair, specialist equipment. It can't be software, which is classed as an intangible asset. It has to be tangible. And by writing it down in that year, in that financial year, it enables that dentist or that dental practice to gain a much quicker tax relief.
Excellent. Well, I think we'll be returning to this topic of finance in future podcasts, where we'll be looking at maybe things like acquisitions, some major things at the other end of the scale to the ones you've just been talking about. But for the moment, thank you very much, John. It's been very useful trying to understand the difference between approaching a high street bank and the benefits that you get from working with a commercial lender. And I very much appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thanks, Nigel.